Welcome, friends, to the God Friended Me podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Good day, Pete.
Good day, Matt. Good day, everybody. The God Friended Me podcast by Fantastic Geek for episode 107, The Prodigal Son, comes your way.
Pete, this episode, written by Carmen Pilar Golden, who has written Hawaii Five-0, and directed by series producer and lens flare practitioner Marco Siega, turning in his fourth directorial effort in these seven episodes. This is an episode that had a lofty 1.1 rating with 8.3 million pairs of eyeballs watching it.
Well, a couple thoughts real quick. You can definitely tell the work of Marcos Siega when it's on the TV screen. And then I see his credit. So points there for a really distinguished and different, cinematic palette than a lot of other TV shows. And to get a producer and a director to have directed as much of the early run of this show as he had, I think, is a real credit to what they've produced to this point. As far as the ratings, Matt, I think we can firmly say that God Friended Me benefits from football overruns.
It certainly does. And on the one hand, I think a pessimist might say, that means it's just driven by football and not indicative of whatever. It helps to have a big lead in, but believe me, many shows have crashed on the rocks of you couldn't handle the lead-in that was given to you, and now what are we going to do with you? So the fact that, some weeks there's a significant uptick in ratings relative to other weeks. For example, 2 weeks ago, 105 was a 0.7 rating. This, the third highest rating of the this week's episode, the third highest of the show. Okay, is football playing a role? Maybe, but football's setting up the approach, and God Friended Me is the landing, and it's sticking the landing.
Absolutely. Just as a quick note as well, Matt, we have given away our first copy of the Star Trek Discovery Season 1 Blu-ray. We had such a positive response. We're giving away another one. You can win yours December 6th. We'll talk a little bit towards the end of the episode how you might do that.
Exciting stuff about that, Pete. Especially, this is a positive show. We're giving things away. It's about taking and giving and the relationships between all of us. It might be Star Trek, Pete, but it's all connected here in Fantastic Geek.
Let's take a stroll through our eightfold path to enlightenment about this episode. What's Sunday about? Spending time with those you can count on. But Uncle T's not spending it with Aunt Lena anymore, especially at that chess game with the Reverend Dad and Miles. Miles updates Uncle T about his marketing class, and now Dad knows about it too. So what's the mission of the week? God suggests Uncle Terrence Russell.
Kara and her mom are wrapping up a run, and it's TV's Michael Vartan is there suddenly as Kara's dad. Miles is surprised that Dad is back on the scene, and we're surprised that Rakesh is there, but he updates that they're getting closer to breaking that firewall. So what help does Uncle T need? Things are looking up in New York City, and at the build site, maybe all isn't as it seems.
Miles and Uncle T have brunch and see Uncle T's friend, Conrad Taylor. Elsewhere, Kara and her father decided to do lunch with Mom, then dinner, just the two of them. Every meal is covered. The dessert is that Rakesh has information on the firewall. Well, he will get it once they meet up with a hacker friend who happens to be a lady and is very legit. It's Lemonhead Lucy. Turns out there is a connection to Falcon, but it's spelled F-A-L-K-E-N. So, not Sam Wilson. In the bar is, Aunt Lena, who's headed upstate and out of this story on account of Uncle T making poor decisions.
At the job site, the workers are walking out due to not getting paid. Uncle T is broke. He's out of options, and the bank is going to take it all. Miles tells his sister, and Allie suggests he talk to a higher power. Not the bank, but Dad. It's good timing since Uncle T is helping build the church's children's center. But now Uncle T swears that there actually aren't money problems.
Miles shares the good news with Kara and Rakesh, but maybe it's time to dig into Uncle T's finances. At the lunch, Kara's father meets up with Mom and then Kara. It's a tense meal with lots of uncomfortable glances. They talk about the past, about Kara's mom briefly returning. Kara says Dad shouldn't have stopped eighth grade Kara from seeing her mother. It wasn't his decision to make for, you know, his child. Kara leaves.
At the build site, Uncle T confirms that things are fine, but Rakesh has information too. The church sent him $600,000. Did Dad know? No way. Miles confronts his uncle. Uncle T fesses up to Miles and Arthur. Dad is understandably irate. It turns out Uncle T has done this before on a smaller scale. This time, Dad must report it, lest he fail the faith the congregation has placed in him.
Miles and Kara talk about his problems. Miles hammers home. Sometimes with family problems, you need to talk them out, which inspires Miles to bring Aunt Lena into the mix. She's worried he'll take the money from that Conrad. Miles and Arthur join in the conversation. They say Uncle T needs to step up. Later, Dad and Miles are scrambling to get the money replaced without the church board filing charges. Meanwhile, Kara and her mother talk about how Dad protected Kara from her alcoholic mother when she was 13. Stupid Dad. Wait, says Mom. He's a good man.
Miles in tow, Arthur addresses the church board, about to spill the beans, but Uncle T arrives. Uncle T admits to embezzling the money and takes full responsibility. He has returned the money, but has broken a trust. Ultimately, the board won't press charges, but will Arthur forgive Terrence? Well, he's in the forgiving business. Turns out Uncle T looks up to Arthur, just like Miles should. Lucy is leaving out some digital bait so the God account can be found. Also doing some finding is Kara, who finds in her heart a way to forgive her father. Finding a debt is Arthur, who owes Uncle T for keeping him in the ministry after Arthur's wife died.
And now it's time to step into the confessional.
Pete, let's talk about a change that has been occurring, I think, with Kara's character in the past couple episodes. I feel like she is increasingly not playing into the main missions. That's not to say that I don't appreciate the story of parental reconciliation that we see here, the time that she's spent with Mom in prior episodes, getting to know her stepsister, but kind of the initial presentation that we got of her investigative journalistic background. And I know that she's not, you know, this is not the New York Times that she's working at in faux BuzzFeed, but kind of that seems to be going away. And it's kind of like in this episode, it's a lot of lunches and brunches and park time and things like that.
I definitely see what you're talking about. I do want to point out, though, let's remember this is Miles' show. Not that she is not a main character. She's the second build actor on the show. But I think there, because of story considerations, are going to be weeks where, you know, this was very clearly the Miles, Uncle T, you know, Dad episode in terms of squaring that dynamic, and even echoed in what went on with Kara and her father.
And you know what? If there is going to be either a short-term or a long-term tweaking of the formula that is God Friended Me, let it be what we are seeing, where it's very character-driven stuff, as opposed to, I don't know, I ran out of ideas for this character. So this week, she, you know, makes her way barely through the episode. She gets a hearty B story, to be sure.
Well, Matt, while it has been a little bit since we've seen Kara at Catapult, the last thing prior to her possibly pursuing a relationship with Miles, her boss telling her, oh, you know, the promotion is in reach, and she's gravitated instead to Eli. So I think there's been ample story space, and I'm hopeful, and I fully expect we're going to return to her on the ground at Catapult running down some more of these stories.
I do find it interesting just seeing a show that now we know there's the breadth of a full season order. Still not clear whether it's 20, 21, 22, but they've been told, hey, tell your season-long story here. It's interesting to watch it, particularly with the show given the opportunity to air each week, all these weeks in a row, currently anticipating through the end of November. It's just interesting to see how the show that was conceived in the pilot has settled a tiny bit. You know, we've talked about how there was the rabbi character who was in a scene or two in the pilot. And, okay, sometimes characters in the pilot don't come back for a variety of reasons. We have Jaya who has left the show. And it's just interesting to see the process. I'm in no way trying to suggest that these are sore points or areas where the show has let down diversity or things of that sort at all. This is an optimistic show with a really well-rounded cast. But again, it's just interesting to watch kind of in real time, week to week, how the show that was conceived is becoming the show that is.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because this being the seventh episode, there's an old adage, and we've talked about it across our family of podcasts, that by the seventh episode, your formula, if you will, is essentially proofed. It's baked into the product, that you can have variation up until then, but now the show is what it is.
We talk each week too about kind of what is the story space moving forward. We have the ongoing mystery of kind of searching for proof behind the God account or who's behind it, whether it's a big W or a little W, that sort of thing. And I know each week I share astonishment that they return to that each and every single week, because I think you can get more kind of story sausage out of the machine if you say, oh, this week Rakesh didn't come up with anything, but they keep returning to it. And I feel like it's this wonderful high wire act, especially moving forward. There's story momentum to do something with it. I don't know what the something is, because I don't think that we're getting, you know, guy in heaven with a beard revealed, you know, before we go on winter break, nor do I think we're going to be told, oh yeah, God is actually a construct, you know, welcome to the Matrix, or sorry, there's no God. We're all, you know, we're in some sort of holographic representation in a space computer or something like that. The show can't benefit from taking a strong stance, but it keeps asking these questions, and I don't know where the show is going. It's a wonderful conceit in and of itself.
Well, I mean, as much as we'd like a peek behind the curtain, Matt, to be able to podcast it week to week and to talk about it here with you and with our listeners and the people we're live tweeting with, I think that's part of this process. Moving forward here, let's talk a little bit about the introduction of Lucy as a character, Lemonhead Lucy, and this Falcon who had disappeared and now has come back and is somehow connected to this computer coding.
I know in the recap, I don't remember which one of us had read it, but the wording was, you know, the introduction of Lucy, who is a hacker and happens to be female. You know, I like that they don't lead with, ooh, Rakesh has a lady friend who we're going to define by being female and potentially, you know, romantic stuff on the show. Oh, and also she does this great computer job. No, it's the other way around. And I thought that was a great, great way to do that. Even if they are maybe going to use her as a character later on for romantic stuff or interpersonal stuff or whatever it might be.
And that they have this previous association that we establish she's somebody good with computers, and to bring in some corroboration that what's going on with the God account is fairly complex.
Again, it continues to be this high wire act, or this, what's that, the plate spinning thing on sticks, whatever it is. There's all, I feel like in a show that's so, I don't want to say passive, because each episode has its tension and its dramatic construct to it, but you're kind of guaranteed that everybody in the show is better off at the end of the episode than the beginning. A happy ending might be a simpler way to say it. I don't know how happy Uncle T is at the end of this episode, but he's in a better place emotionally. not a better place in the God kind of sense, but bottom line is I can't wait to see where the search into the account takes us story-wise in the future.
Regarding Uncle T, Matt, the discovery that he's done this type of theft before, so dropping any way you cut it in Miles' estimation from favorite uncle to somebody who's made some serious mistakes in his past and then again repeated them. And written out here for a little bit, heading to try to fix things with Arthur's sister, with his wife, if they can even be fixed. But you know, can that happen?
Well, I think on the one hand, we live in a world that requires some flexibility and some sympathy and an opportunity for second chances. On the flip side, you know, there is such a thing as, you know, stealing a loaf of bread for your starving family. But do you steal the loaf of bread from the church? Like, I was just a bit astonished the notion, as initially presented, that he would steal the first time, the most recent time, the $600,000. He would steal that from a church account. I mean, to me, there was a souring of the character, as indeed they all sour to him, because it's a, you know, it's embezzlement. I like that he names it at the end.
Yeah.
The notion that there was a little theft earlier that wasn't caught because it was put back so quickly and it didn't, you know, it was so small and so quick that it didn't need to be brought to the attention of the church council that guides the church in temporal matters here. I was surprised by Arthur's decision for that. Maybe that's what the story called for, but I was surprised, A, that Arthur kind of let it slide.
Yeah.
B, it kind of made me wonder, you know, what is that line? I mean, we all want to give forgiveness, but at what point do you say there needs to be a consequence here?
Well, I think it really humanized Arthur. I mean, think about where he is. He's in a position of leadership, but he's also a brother-in-law. So for it to happen again and for the decision to be so clear with this amount of money that there has to be serious consequences, I was really glad they did not shy away from this. I expected a little bit more of a zinger. I thought when Arthur was called back in by the council, they were going to be like, oh yeah, and we said no repercussions, and please write down your resignation here. You know, you think of how he would, as a character, be irreparably harmed by being forced to give over the thing that he rallied to via the help of his brother-in-law in the wake of the loss of his wife, you know, questioning, you know, could he be up there? Could he be rah-rah for God having suffered that loss? Would he, you know, what would losing the job call for him to respond with? But I appreciated the way that was handled. I thought it was very smartly written.
I think it's worth sticking a pin in that as a storyline for down the line. While I don't want Arthur as a person to end up, you know, removed from the church or that sort of thing, exterior from the story, I think it's not a bad storyline for some point. This early on in the series, probably not necessary, particularly if you do kind of want to be basically returning to that episodic reset in large degree at the end of each episode. But I think that, you know, if the show goes long enough, I think that could be a place where you get some really interesting questions. You know, the shepherd without a flock, the faith challenge that would cause him, the impact it would have on the family. I think there's some rich story there for another event. Pete, they keep having these missions of a week. One of these days, the mission of the week is going to, you know, rock the boat.
Well, you think about what it ultimately led to, Miles sitting in the pew where Uncle T was each week. So there has absolutely been a direction through seven episodes. I'm really looking forward to where it's going to go. Two more from me, Matt. You know, when Uncle T made this poor decision and is contemplating how to get out of it, this idea of Conrad Taylor, or should I say Con Man Taylor, never quite articulated what it was. And, you know, maybe like the best of mobsters or con men or, you know, unsavory types, really getting them to think about it. You know, once you start down this road, there ain't no turning back.
It was interesting to put in what was just this one episode, to put this kind of deconstruction onto the role of Uncle T, going from this really kind of upstanding guy who's able to manage his marriage and his business and this growing business, to just see it kind of all crumble behind this facade. I think that it's, you know, if we're going to have somebody kind of take a downfall, as I was saying, ooh, maybe one day it will be Arthur. They did a mini version of that here with Uncle T and did it really, really aptly, because you just get this sense of him, you get this sense, not just of him crumbling, this was the tipping point. There's been obviously crumbling going on for quite a while.
Yeah. And I think to see, again, if only we're in that writer's room, Matt, to see on the whiteboard there the season long trajectories, but I have a lot of fun trying to peek behind the curtain here. And that's where I think laying the bait here for the God account for Falcon online, to see what kind of fruit that can bear.
I think one area where the show really has excelled is bringing in some of the great guest actors. And I mean, my goodness, we saw that with Uncle T recurring for these three or four episodes. So wherever we're headed with Falcon, I think, you know, it's an opportunity for to just, you know, grab another great guest actor. I would bet that we're headed with some sort of arc where it's going to be a multi-episode thing. If only, again, to kind of have this midpoint between where the story wants to go in terms of that investigation and where it can't go in terms of delivering us a definitive endpoint.
Well, Matt, just want to thank our patrons again to patreon.com/fantasticgeek. You keep us from embezzling nearly $600,000 per week from various churches to keep this enterprise, this family of 15 podcasts, up and running.
Pete, you kid about the embezzling part, but of course, we are so proud to be listener-supported, to know that each and every week we can approach the microphone multiple times, and to know that there we are with not only our general audience, but that Patreon audience, making sure that things continue to go behind the scenes. We push the buttons. They help make things flow.
Everybody who contributes gets access to exclusive podcast content. In fact, very, very shortly, we will be putting up a fantastic thing you will only be able to see and hear on patreon.com/fantasticgeek. What are people saying on the horn?
Pete, a couple tweets here. The first one is from at LilASince96. Hashtag Godfriend of Me is here. I can't even express to you guys how much I love this show and how it's touched my life so far. It has taught me valuable life lessons, gave me hope, and helped me better myself, those around me, and the earth as a whole. Thank you, Godfriend of Me.
Wow. I don't think you could get a greater endorsement than that.
No, I mean, that's what it's about, right? Touching the audience in their heart. Another tweet from at @anthro_girl. I really love Godfriended Me. It's an uplifting show, something our society needs more of right now. Pete, what feedback do you have on your end?
We had put the call out for our first iTunes reviews, and we've gotten a pair already, Matt. The first comes to us by J Killen 9. and it is headlined Fantastic Geek Does It Again, 5 stars. And it reads, if you don't have friends that share your love of all things geek, Matt and Pete are your guys. They break down the good, bad, and ugly, but also provide insight on the creative slash business processes behind content. If you're part of a geek crew, these guys will only enhance the sharing. The God Friend of Me pod is a great addition to Fantastic with a PH universe.
Oh, thank you for those kind words. And you know what? We're glad to be on your geek crew with you.
Next review, Matt, definitely another one of our geek crew here. This is Dr. Bob K. And headlined here, thanks for another fine podcast, 5 stars. And it reads, Matt and Pete surprised me when they said they'd podcast God Friended Me. I was completely unaware of the show, but their podcast convinced me to give it a shot, and I've enjoyed it a lot so far. The geeks have done a great job of thinking through the plot points and speculating on the future direction of the show. It's fun to watch this show with them.
Well, certainly high praise there from our pal, Dr. Bob. And Pete, I like to think that of the 8.3 million people who tuned in this week, probably most of them are here because of the podcast. I mean, there also might have been other things like advertising during football games and general media buzz and things like that. But probably it's most of us, right?
I would say the overwhelming majority, Matt. But we are so thankful to have this conversation with you. From the moment we saw this show was coming and the creative people behind it, we said, you know what, we've experienced enough of their work to know this is quality TV worth following along. And the premise was intriguing enough. We thought it would be something our listeners would want to listen to.
Glad to be here each week for it, and of course continuing to podcast it every Monday through the month of November. That's as far as the schedule goes currently. Probably some football interruption in the month of December, but we are here for the season, Pete. Can't wait for more of these episodes to make it to our eyeballs Sunday nights on CBS. Pete, anything else going on in our galaxy of CBS shows?
Well, through November here with God Friended Me, but turn the calendar real soon, Matt. It's going to be December already, if you can believe that. And the next Star Trek Discovery short trek will come out on Thursday, December 6th. That is going to be the night of our next podcast with that we will be raffling off one more copy of Star Trek Discovery Season 1 on Blu-ray. So between now and then, so in the 3.5 weeks here, every like to our Facebook page, every share of our Facebook page, every follow on Twitter, every retweet on Twitter, every iTunes review like Jay Killen and Dr. Bob K here is going to earn you separate entries into that drawing. We had more than 400 entries in a little bit more than a week. Really interested to see how high we could get that number to pick from by Thursday, December 6th.
Pete, happy to give back, particularly in the season of giving. And the best gift that some people can get, some have said, is being able to talk to you on Twitter. And Pete, they don't need to wait for the cold winter months to be able to do that. They can be in touch with you anytime. How can people be in touch with you?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, P-I-E-T-E-R-J, Ketelaar, K-E-T-E-L-A-A-R, 10,134 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I'm personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast. Visit FantasticGeek.com. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and Gmail, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/FantasticGeek with the PH, all one word, like it today.
Well, Pete, for those listening on the Pop Culture Podcast feed, we will be wrapping up the third season of Daredevil in the next, in the coming days, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, as we put an exclamation point on what has been a wonderful season. If you're listening to us on the God Friended Me feed, we, of course, will be back next Monday to talk episode 108. With that, Pete, I will say adios to all our listeners and give you the final word.
You don't choose your family. They are God's gift to you as you are to them.